What a beautiful choir. Good morning, everyone. It's always wonderful to be back. Such a wonderful congregation, such beautiful energy here. It's always a joy to be here. Thank you. Well, I have a question. Anyone here ever made a mistake? Little one, medium size, whopper. Well, I guess I should have asked, has anyone here never made a mistake? Because we've all made mistakes. It's part of the human experience. We make mistakes. But we have a choice whether to stay in those mistakes and struggle along or strive to find a blessing. So I'd like to share a story with you. Once upon a time, there were twins, twin boys. One was kind of a ruddy, hairy little boy, and the other was fair. As they grew up, the ruddy boy became a hunter. He loved to be out in the field, and he was the apple of his father's eye. He also was the older twin. He just happened to be born a few seconds before the younger one. And then the younger twin liked to stay inside with mom, wasn't interested at all in hunting or the field. So he was mom's favorite. Well, there was jealousy as the years passed because the younger son would look at the older son and realize just because of the 2 or 3 seconds between their birth, the older son had the birthright and would get all the inheritance. Yikes. Who wouldn't be upset about that? And so years passed, and the younger son became more and more and more jealous. And so did his mother. So they devised a plan. As the father's eyesight began to fail, they decided that they would dress the younger son up in skins, animal skins, so he would feel more like the older son who was hairy and ruddy. And he went to the father, and the father, thinking he was the older son, gave him a blessing. And by giving him that blessing, he gave him the birthright. Well, you can imagine what ensued after that. So, mother tells the younger son, "I think you need to get out of town." Anyone recognize this story? Yes. It's the story of Jacob and Esau. Those are the twins. The father is Isaac, who is the son of Abraham and Sarah, and the wife is Rebekah. That tale of jealousy and theft. Well, Jacob leaves home. He heads out, and that first night, he stops to sleep. He puts a pillar under his head for a pillow. And he has a dream. Well, first we can imagine what was going on with him at the time. He was fearful. I'm sure he was ashamed. He was anxious. Where was he going to end up? What was he going to be doing with his life? And so during the dream, he dreamt that there was a ladder that reached from the earth to heaven. And there were angels ascending and descending on this ladder. And of course, metaphysically we look at that. That ladder represents from heaven to earth what? Our consciousness. It represents a climb in consciousness, the human striving for the divine. And of course, the angels, metaphysically, are messages from God. So during the dream, then, God directly speaks to Jacob and said, I am with you. I will never leave you. God spoke directly to Jacob and did not condemn him or judge him, but showed mercy, compassion. And he said, not only am I with you, but I will always be with you. Always be with you. That you will have descendants and I will be with them. That is the promise that I give you. So Jacob makes a statement, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, something that we say a lot in Unity, right? And so he took the pillar that he had used as a pillow, and he set it on the ground, and he named that place Bethel, which means house of God, a sacred place. So Jacob continues his trip. He ends up getting married, having a family, being a very successful business person. And 20 years pass, and he says he needs to come back home. So he heads back to home, Beersheba. And when he's several miles away from home, he gets a message that his brother Esau is heading his way with 400 men. Well, that can never be good. 400 men. So Esau had not forgotten and forgiven. So Jacob made a decision that he would go ahead and send his wife and the family and the servants and have all the goods taken somewhere else, and he would wait at this place. So he had a dream again. And this time, the dream included a man, and in some translations, an angel, that he wrestled with. And they wrestled all night long. And he told the man, I will not let you go until you bless me. And then the man put his hip out of joint, which would make it more difficult to wrestle. But nonetheless, Jacob persisted, and he wrestled until the morning. And then in the morning, the man told him, because he had endured, because he had been transformed, that he would receive a new name, that he would no longer be Jacob, but his name would be Israel. And Israel means striving for God. Wow. Did that make a difference in Jacob? No longer holding on to all the guilt and fear, but actually had looked that in the face and wrestled it down. And from that had transformed into a new person. And then we know that Jacob went on to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. So it was from his seed that all of this came, which would never have happened had he not been willing to wrestle with the man until he blessed him. I love that story. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I just caught snippets of the conversation, but the interview was with a man who had lost all of his money, his pension, because he invested with a man who was very unethical, let's say. And he told the story of how that affected him, having lost his money, having lost his security for his family, and the anger and fear that he felt, the shame that he felt, because he wasn't smart enough to see it coming. The guilt, again, because he had taken away the security from his family. But he said he realized if he stayed there, that the guy would have won. That he had to believe that there was something greater in him that could see beyond that. And you know, we hear that all the time in Unity. Unless you let it go, you keep being the victim, right? Over and over and over and over. And so he talked about how he was able to let that go. I can't wait to hear the rest of his story, and because I'm sure wonderful things happened after that, because he was willing to let it go. So thinking of us and the mistakes that we've made, again, maybe tiny ones or whoppers, whatever they happen to be. Maybe it was hurting ourselves. Maybe it was hurting someone else. But to look at this beautiful story and know, like all the stories in the Bible, there are stories. Different circumstances, different names, but it's our story right now in 2017. So to see the very first lesson in this story after Jacob leaves home, God shows up. God's always there. The presence of God. And the presence of God that tells Jacob, I'm with you. I'll always be with you. Not judging, not taking names, who was naughty and who was nice. Thank God for that. But to support you and love you. To know that within you is this house of God, the presence of God. So that realization, when we take that in and really believe it, that we can accomplish anything, we can let anything go. So that's the basis right there. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. We know that. The Lord is in this place and that place, every place. And then to be willing and able to confront whatever it is, whatever mistake that might be, to wrestle with that. And even when our hip is out of joint, and metaphysically, I think that's beautiful because it's saying that that physical part of us, often it's painful when we're wrestling, trying to get higher to that spiritual part of us, and that's what that part of that story is about. And for us, knowing that sometimes it is painful. But to be willing to let go of the shame, of the guilt, of the fear, of anything that's keeping us locked in there. So that we too can have a new name, that we can be transformed, and it's Overcomer, or whatever name you'd like to give yourself. To me, that is absolutely wonderful news, to know that we never have to stay in our mistakes, no matter how big they are, because God is not keeping score. And if God's not keeping score, why in the world are we? To let it go. Affirm the presence of God. To let it go so that we too can be all that we are here to be. To plant the seeds that we're here to plant. To start all the tribes that we're here to start. And for any kind of growth that we do, it's never just about us. You know, all the striving that we do to be the greatest light that we can be, free of mistakes and shame and blame and all of those things. Of course, we do it because we're called to let the perfection in us show. But we do it also because we're part of each other. that we are all one. And when we grow in consciousness, when we let go of all the stuff that keeps us down in the murk and the dirt, it helps us all. Because my consciousness rubs up against yours and yours up against mine, because indeed we are one. So my prayer for all of us, as we look at our life and see the mistakes, our mistake, few, many, small, big, whatever they are, to be willing for our own happiness, as well as for the energy that we give to the world, to be willing to struggle, to let them go, so that we can shine. And there's a beautiful statement of truth that we speak every Sunday in Unity churches all over the world. And it's the one that we're going to say together in a moment, but it's one that truly tells us the truth of this, that there is only one presence and power. And if knowing that truth, how that helps us let go of anything negative in our life. There's only one presence and one power, and that is God, who is good. So let us together embrace these beautiful words, that there is only one presence and power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good omnipotent. Thank you.